Loretta Lawrence, PA to the chairperson.
Morning, my name is Fungi Wakula,
Yes, my name is Pieter van Dalen. I'm a member of this committee.
Morning, Van Dijk, member of the committee.
Fred Madiwana from DPE.
Eric Boskati, researcher for the committee.
Adam Sidat from the DPE.
Elan Shilmakove, DPE.
Helen Walsh, Transnet.
Harry Gazendam from the Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund Trustee.
Peter Mario, Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund Chairman.
I don't think Transnet.
Someone who did not introduce himself.
Lou Sondo, member of the committee.
People at the bench. You sorted yourselves out, you know, I was going to present. Just a reminder, this is a follow-up on a meeting that about a week ago, where the committee requested that the two parties go back and try to find each other. So I suppose we will hear today what you have agreed on. Mr. Moyer, you are doing the presentation. Okay, it's over to you.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. Last week we met here and the Chairman says we went away to try and find each other. Hopefully we've actually gone some way in trying to find each other. Chair, maybe just by way of background, if I could also just talk about the different stakeholders that we've actually had to deal with. Because in coming up with this, with our proposal, we've actually had to think about all these things. And up front, I want to say that this is this proposal is a joint proposal by Transnet, the Transnet Second Defined, and the Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund. We have spoken to DPE, so all the stakeholders involved have got a very good sense, and certainly from Transnet and the TSDPF, it's actually something that we've agreed on. Members will recall that we chose to have this meeting today because we had a meeting of the Transnet board yesterday, and so the things that we're also putting here were discussed in detail at the Transnet board yesterday. I did the presentation to the board chairman. Starting point, the single most important stakeholder in this our pensioners, because chairman, we're trying to really find a solution for the pensioners where we're saying let's try and get to increases beyond the 2%. Our pensioners have been saying they want something that is preferably linked to inflation. However, in the last few years, we have actually paid some bonuses, and some of our pensioners will, in fact, I believe a big number of our pensioners will actually like the bonus structure to continue, but also to secure a sustainable cash flow from the fund, because a lot of these pensioners need this income, so we need to make sure that whatever we come up with is always going to be sustainable for them. And then from a trustee's point of view, we also looked at our fiduciary obligations to the fund and to the pensioners. And we agreed, we all agreed, that it is important to ensure that the fund is always run in a very prudent manner. But having said that, we are all aware of the plight of the pensioners, because the amounts that are paid to the pensioners, some of them are just above or below the living wage. But also we're cognizant of the fact that we've got to try and balance the immediate cash flows now and the generational issues. We've got some pensioners that have got a slightly longer term horizon compared to the others, and we've got to try and balance the needs of the pensioners who have got a short-term need and those that have got a long-term need. And although, Chairman, I'm not talking here as a board member of Transnet, a very important stakeholder in this whole thing is Transnet, who is the employer or former employer of most of our pensioners. And Transnet was well aware of the challenge facing the trustees and the pensioners. They also have a duty, particularly the directors, to comply with the PFMA requirements and the mandate from the shareholder. And the Transnet Board of Directors has to act within the scope of their fiduciary obligation. I'm glad to say, Chair, that in what we're presenting, like I said, it actually covers all of those things. And I'll quickly just go through the Transnet mandate. That essentially it is the primary provider of logistics services in the country to enable economic growth. And the company will be rolling out a massive capital expenditure plan to ensure an appropriate infrastructure to provide logistics services in a cost-effective and efficient manner. And the capital expenditure program and the portfolio committee's resolution or the recommendations will result in Transnet being in the following position. If we do that, the borrowings of Transnet will increase over 3, and I'm talking about if we implemented the entire package, it will result in borrowings getting over 36.3 billion over a three-year period, purely on the strength of the Transnet balance sheet with no government guarantees. All the borrowings that we're getting into right now is Transnet. There are no government guarantees. The gearing ratio will increase to 48.3% in terms of the company's covenant with the lender. We cannot go beyond 50%. So if we implement this, we're getting closer and closer to that threshold. We also have to have a cash interest cover of 3 times. With these recommendations, we'll be getting to a very fragile 3.2 times. So we have to try and balance those things, Chairman. And we're also well aware of the downgrades with the likes of Moody and that kind of thing. So we can't really be putting any more pressure. Well, we will put some pressure, but we actually have to be careful where we end. And if we did some of these things in their totality, they'll seriously jeopardize Transnet's ability to execute its mandate. And the board is cognizant that they cannot do anything which is contrary to their fiduciary duties. So going to the recommendations, Chair said, I think we're getting to closer to finding each other. When we were here last week, we were saying we're going to, the committee recommended that we look at 5 months, gratuitous pay, and we said we're in a position to do 3 months. We went back and sharpened our pencils, Chair. We believe with some balancing, we can actually get to 5 months. I said to the committee last week that third month, we're waiting for Transnet's approval. We got the approval yesterday from Transnet to pay the bonus in November. So as we speak, we've done the 3 months because we did the 2 months. Since we started these discussions, with the payment in November last year, with the payment in February this year, and what we approved yesterday, Chair, is not even a month, it's more than a month, it's a 10%, it's a 10% bonus, it's not 8.33%. So they're getting slightly more than a month, and we're proposing that we're going to look at doing another 2 months between now and February. We'll actually try and do it before the end of our financial year, subject to us finding each other. We have already gotten a sense. We put this to Transnet yesterday, and we are confident that the board of directors of Transnet will be supportive of the additional 2%. Unfortunately, one of the other things that we're to look at is the 3.2%. Even with all the sharpening of pencils, we still found it difficult, Chair, to do that. But what this does is we all have to understand that if we did all these things, we will exhaust the current surplus and will require a funding in an additional injection of 2 billion, which causes other problems. So doing the things that we're going to be proposing, Chair, I think we'll still come to a slightly comfortable position where we think we can still balance our books. I think there's a... I just want again to remind the committee.
Chairperson, just on a point of information, on the previous slide, can we just get an indication which month the bonus is paid, please?
We paid, Chair, at the end of the calendar year last year, we paid one bonus.
Which month?
I think we paid that in November. We approved it, I think, at the November board meeting last year. Transnet, we paid that in November last year, then we paid in February 2011. And yesterday, we approved another payment, and we proposed to Transnet that subject to us finding each other, we could look at another 2 months. And we've actually had our actuary look at those numbers. So that's actually how the 5 months.
Approved to pay which month this year?
End of November. As soon as, they could actually start paying. They could actually start paying even today because we approved it yesterday.
Through you, Chairperson, and the remaining two next year, can you just indicate the month?
We want to pay those before end of March, but we're really targeting paying that by about February. But our financial year is March, but we really... If we can get going, we will actually like to pay that as soon as possible.
I'm going to request that I just a point of clarity, if we allow Mr. Morris to finish his presentation, then let's say this later, and then we'll have an opportunity to play the
question. Yes. Chair, this is a slide that we showed last week that... In fact, a lot of us keep on saying, and in fact, even in our own organization, people talk about the cost of 2 billion. The actual cost of implementing the full suite of recommendations is actually 4.7 billion, in that we do have right now a surplus of 2.7 billion. But if we implement everything, we'll end up in a deficit of 2 billion. So the full cost of it is about 4.7 billion, made up of if you do the 75% CPI increase, you end up that costs about 3.2 billion. If you do the 5 months pay, it's another 800 million, and the base uplift
that's another 700 million. That's actually how you get to the seven billion. And looking at the financing of the fund, we just can't afford it. So our final proposal takes into account the fund's financial position in some ways, the impact of the proposal on pensioners receiving or qualifying to receive the state old age pension. One of the, what we're trying to do is we actually want to try and maximize the amount of cash that our pensioners get. So to the extent that they can still qualify for SOP and get this, we're actually trying to put a structure that does not put them outside of the SOP net, because at the end of the day, what one is trying to do is make sure that as much as possible, some of those benefits that they have, they preserve, because we're really trying to make sure that they do have the cash. We're also taking into account the generational issues and the current life expectancy of the pensioners. And our solution is based on the what we expect to be the returns of our investments. So we've actually made assumptions on some of those things. But we are also assuming that as the fund progresses, we might be able to release more reserves, and as the fund progresses, we can afford to be slightly less conservative, and we're going to release some of those reserves. And as I said, Chair, some of our pensioners, in fact, as we understand it, the majority of our pensioners would actually like to receive the bonus. Like I discussed last week, some of our members say it was giving me an extra 60 rand a month. This is based on saying that if we go to 75%, we move from about 2% to 4%. It's about 60 rand a month. Some of our pensioners are saying, I'd rather have 3,000 rand once in December as opposed to getting the 60 rand a month. But we are going to test those things, Chair. And we've also looked at the fiduciary duties of both the trustees and the board of the board of directors of Transnet. So what then, Chair, is our proposal? The first thing, the committee had recommended that we look at the 5 months gratuitous payment. Like I said, I'm glad, Chair, that we think we've actually done something where we can find each other on that. Since this communication started before the end of last year, we've already paid 2 months, and as I said yesterday, we approved one, and we'll actually like to do another two before the end of our financial year, and we'd like to really do it before February. Harry here is a pensioner, so he knows some of the pensioner issues, so he keeps on saying to me, Peter, we've got to pay this. I think if we have it Harry's way, we'll actually pay it before the end of December. That's actually how urgent, Chairman, we are.
Thank you.
We are looking at it. And the fund trustees will finalize the details of the payment plan and the extent, the exact timing. In fact, we do have, Chair, a small window of opportunity here, in that the last board of trustee meeting happens on Wednesday next week. So if we can actually find each other, it's easier for us to take these recommendations for approval by the board of trustees. And the intention is to fully implement this proposal, and as you said, it will cost $800 million. So on the first pillar, Chair, we've sharpened our pencils, and we think we can get there. The second proposal, Chair, was to find a way of a prospective pensioner increase policy of 75% of CPI. We all know that it was premised always on us being able to do this, because passing of effecting a rule amendment where we'll actually jeopardize the fund and we could not do it, it would be difficult. That's why we all have to understand.
understand that it's always subject to affordability. And our basis started on the fact that right now one argues that inflation is 6%. I know that when we talk about salary increases, some people say inflation is 8%, but we've worked on 6% increase. And right now, what our pensioners are guaranteed is a 2% increase. So you can actually say 33% of the way up. But the targeted, we want to have a targeted increase which is subject to affordability. And that affordability, we want to ensure that it is always left to the fund to make the decisions on, but it's based on the investment returns that we hope will continue with the way they are, or better still, beat our expectations, and the fund not having a deficit after such increases. So if we can have the returns that are in line with our expectations, or better still, and the fund never gets into a deficit position, we think our proposal will stand, and the trustees will finalize the exact payment and timing of these increases. But what we're proposing, Chair, is that we do not get these increases to vest, but we expect them to accumulate over time to equate the targeted level of the CPI increase. And we would like to have these increases paid using the bonus rule currently in place. The reason for that, there are really two reasons. Like I said, a lot of our pensioners, as we understand it, prefer the bonus. But also, if we were to go and change the rules, the process of changing the rules to enable us to do this is actually quite tedious. The Board of Trustees must actually go through the formal rule amendments, go through the lawyers, it's then got to go to the Chancellor Board of Directors, it's got to go to DPE, it's got to come to this committee, it's got to go to the Minister of Finance. And our concern, Chair, is that this might actually take a very long period. We're saying that there are mechanisms where we can actually speed this. Even in the event that we might want to amend some of the rules, we want to be able to do some of these things whilst that process moves on, because in that way you do really look after the plight of the people for whom this solution is actually meant. And we will show how the results look like after this. As I said, if we do this, in fact, if we go back to the previous slide, if we just do the 5 months and targeting CPI at 75%, you already get into a deficit. What we know right now is, with our current plans and having paid the 5 months, we are comfortable that the fund can do 63% of CPI. We know that is affordable under the current scenario without us getting into a deficit. However, based on the higher expected returns on the equity, and we've put in a matching structure in the fund, we think we can actually get to about 68%. Members will recall last week we say that we're comfortable with a 68% without doing anything else. If we did the extra 2 months, that's what pushed us down to the 63%. But we can, with the way that the fund is structured, we think at a stretch we can actually get it chaired to 68%. But as the fund matures, mean, this is already a mature fund, but as it further matures, we think some of those reserves, you might actually unwind them and we'll get to the 75% of CPI increases over time. If you asked us to do it now, Chair, we are very clear that 63% we can do, 68% at a stretch, 75% maybe over time. The beauty of this, if we go this way, if the fund builds up any more surpluses, what we intend doing is that we might actually get to a position, having done these things, of paying additional bonuses to the pensioners. And that, Chair, it also deals with the generational issues, because some of the debate that we've had on our own is, do you allow the fund to build up 5 billion rand reserves very much for the future when we actually have current members? Because it's actually, that money belongs to all the members, so you have to start finding a way of distributing that almost as it arises. So that's actually the beauty of looking at it this way, Chair. But I think it is very important that much as we want to target 75%, right now what is comfortable is something between 63% and 68%. We want to get to 75%, but right now our hands are tied within this. And as I said, the intention is to fully implement 75% of our CPI. So in conclusion, Chair, we're asked to look at three pillars, being the 5 months gratuity, 75% of CPI, and the base uplift. We are clear that we can actually do fully two of the three, and I've spent a lot of time with accountants and actuaries. I always say it's not 66% what we've done. I think my numbers worked out to more than 85% in terms of the value. It looks like we've done two of the three. But the most expensive, Chair, was always going to be the 75% of CPI. We think we're going to get to that. The second most expensive was going to be the 5 months back pay. And, Chair, with that one we're doing fully. So we've done that. And really, if we can get our act together, I said last week, Chair, that the fund is well managed. And I'm not really saying this because I'm the chairman of the fund. I've only been chairman for 6 months. So it's always been well managed, and we expect that with good governance. We'll continue managing the fund very well, and that might enable us to generate bonuses that we're able to pay, and we're committed to putting that in our own policy. And what this will do, if we do it via bonuses, is that what we pay to our pensioners as bonuses is not taken into account when we do the means test for the state old age pension, which is a big benefit to our pensioners. And yeah, so for the Transnet Second Defined Benefit Fund, I said we were at a funding level of 117%. If we do just the 5 months, we go down to 114%, and then we'll actually manage down to about 100% through the 63% to 68% of CPI, and then manage to 75% of CPI, and then start paying the bonuses. Chair, I want to thank you and the members for listening to our proposal, and I think, as you said, we were tasked to all go away and see how we can find each other. We hope you've seen that we've actually gone some way in getting there. And like I said, this has the blessing of the Transnet board. And we still have to take it to our own members. And a few of our members have been part of working to the solution. And I'm confident that we can get this to pass at our board meeting next week.
So would you like to say anything in addition to what I said? Pensioner? Yeah.
just for the record, I'm not a pensioner member of this particular fund. I happen to be semi-retired in my other capacity. But I serve on this board at the request of Transnet. I also serve on the main board of Transnet. So Mr. Moyo is just abusing my grey hair.
We do have a pensioner member who possibly has got strong views about bonuses with your permission.
Yeah, we would allow him to say a few words. That's only fair. Right now, if you...
Hear me, I was arrested for money.
Chairman, I've addressed two pensioner meetings over the last couple of days, and my phone hasn't stopped ringing as well. The pensioners that I've spoken to feel very strongly that they only want only interested in improvements on what are we doing at the present moment. At the present moment, we have the 2% adjustment, and we have the annual bonus of at this November is now 10%. The idea of inflation-linked increases, particularly bearing in mind that slightly less than 50% of the members only earn $1,500 and less. You're looking, as the chairman said, at a very minimal amount that you're going to get monthly. And we went around the country and had discussions with them as a fund last year, and they said to us very, very strongly, give us a decent amount once a year that we can do something with. And not a minimal amount. 37% get less than 1,000 rand. So they're getting extremely low pensions. And they said that at least once a year we get something in our pocket that we can do with. So the pensioners feel very strongly that they want to retain the existing bonus structure. Obviously, the pensioners would support any other things that are done to uplift the 2% in line with inflation. But they feel very strongly that that mustn't have any bearing on the fund's existing principles of providing annual bonuses with a 2% guaranteed increase.
Thank you very much. I think it is important for us to hear it from someone who speaks on behalf of the pensioners themselves.
The beauty about our proposal is that this package, we can go away and, when I say play around with it, pardon the word, but play around with it to do exactly what they want if within this package.
Yeah, I think that was very also just a repeat of what you said. I think what is important to us here, or what should be important to us, it's really to look at the interests of the pensioners themselves. But we must be very realistic. This must be looked at within affordability of and sustainability of whatever it is that you have agreed on. I'm going to allow members now to engage with the presentation. But thank you so much for the work that you have done so far. And I'm going to go. Oh yeah, let me give Bayanda first an opportunity to maybe do something from that may change the whole thing.
thanks, Chairperson. As members would know, the report with the recommendations of the Portfolio Committee was adopted by the House in November. And the Speaker wrote to the Minister to communicate the recommendations of the report. And the minister has since taken it, taken a responsibility to consider the report and to communicate it with the Transnet accordingly. And that interaction with Transnet, the latest information with regard to it is that yesterday the minister received a letter from the chairperson of the Transnet board communicating the decision of the board on the matter. And on the basis of that letter, the minister is then going to communicate with the speaker in response to the report on the decision of the board on what is going to happen. So that is where the process is now. As I said, the minister received a letter from the chairperson of the board yesterday. So he is going to be submitting a letter to the speaker either today or Monday, communicating what is going to happen with regard to what the speaker has written to him about, which essentially is what the the chair has presented. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. I have the phone number.
I'm a visiting member, Anton Albert. Thank you, Pierre.
Thank you, Chairperson. The whole issue of the process, I'm glad the Minister of Representative has spelled it out, because that, in a sense, captures the process to be followed. Namely, the recommendations of the Portfolio Committee was adopted in Parliament in 18 November last year. The Speaker wrote to the Minister and request him a report on the recommendations, and the correct procedure now is for the minister to write back to the speaker based on the information from the Transnet board to say, I can report on the recommendations of the portfolio committee. To complete that process, the speaker will then refer that report of the minister back to this portfolio committee. So that is a correct process, I think, that needs to be followed. And here, at this meeting, we can only interact with the presentation of Mr. Moyo and his team and discuss, ask questions for clarity, and thereafter the role of this committee is complete until such time as we receive the report from the speaker to this committee. So I think if everybody is just online on the process, and we can conclude the meeting probably on that manner. Three remarks. You correctly said, Mr. Moyo, that you call it the plight of the people, and it's a plight of the pensioners, and that should be the whole focus. There are thousands of pensioners that really is in need for what we've decided more than a year ago, and it's a pity that this process has taken so long. But I'm glad at least we are now here at a point where we can address the plight of the pensioners. Secondly, the focus, and Mr. Benwell has just confirmed that the focus of the pensioners is to have cash. That's what I said at that time to the committee. This is what you're also saying to us. The focus for the pensioners who are aging, is to have cash in their pockets. And thirdly, I think we need to find a solution. And I think after the input from the minister's office, I think we're close to finding now a solution and bring this to an end, so that the pensioners can have clarity and can have closure on this matter. Can I ask you three questions? One, and I'm going to address both funds. You didn't distinguish between the TSDPF and the TPF, but there are two funds at stake here, and they're slightly different. So if I mix it up, you can unpack it again. One is on you strive for the 75% CPI increase. But in the TPF, you want to retain the 2% minimum guaranteed to remain. Can I ask whether it's possible to strive and to market and commit yourself to the 75% CPI increase subject to affordability? But can you build in 5 months pension payout. What you're saying to the committee this morning is you will meet that 5 months ex gratia payment, but spread over November to 2010 to March 2012. So we need for you to say to this committee, you can commit yourself on the 5 months ex gratia payments of monthly pensions for that period. Why I'm asking the question, because in the TPF, it seems in your presentation, that is spread over 11 years. And if that is the case, unless I misread it, I think that cannot be acceptable. So my question secondly, to make myself clear, is can you tell this committee the 5 months ex gratia payment, instead of having a once-off payment, you can confirm that it will be paid not later by March 2012, because that is what the pensioners want. Number three, you say the 3.21% base uplift is not affordable. Is it possible for you to tell the pensioners there what Mr. Benwell has just said, that for the bonus payments, the ad hoc, I think you call it ad hoc bonuses by the fund, that you can carry on with the ad hoc bonuses in the maneuvering room that you have to ensure that at the end of each year they have an ad hoc bonus to satisfy them for that annual period. I really think that I get the feeling we're very close to a solution. We need to ask clarity and commitments from your side, and then the process, as spelled out by the Minister's Office, must kick in. So this is really my three questions that I have as a
chairperson. I want to say thank you very much. It sounds to me as if everybody has been trying to grapple and work very hard since we last met on this, and we've spent a considerable amount of time in this portfolio committee on this. I don't want to repeat what Dr. Kuhnhoff has just said, because by and large that's the nub of the whole thing. But I think what I need to also just say, I heard a lot of mites and ifs, but I think Dr. Kuhnhoff has covered it, in that we would like rather to see something a little bit more of a commitment. Because, you know, staff change, people go, boards change, so, you know, that needs to be set out. The other thing I'm hearing is, and I need confirmation of this, and that is the state old age pension fund part of this, that we don't jeopardize that for the pensioners, and I think you've worked on that, but I think, you know, one needs to just be sure about that. Then my question really is to get clarity on this 850 million rand that you talk about. Is that what is being pumped in by Transnet into this? Or where does this aid? I'm not just quite understanding that, because I would imagine that, you know, there's extra money needed. Is that the 850 million that you're pumping in order to be able to meet what you are asking?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, first a comment and then I'll come to the questions. And I need to say that this document is not actually, you know, what we expect today and what we would like to hear. But we took note of the proposals as by your presentation. Chairperson, the fact that the three proposals adopted by Parliament is not yet implemented like we would have seen a year later, and it's been said in Parliament also this past week, I think it's a little bit of a disrespect to Parliament. But all this, you know, despite the fact that the Minister for Public Enterprises, who is responsible for oversight on Transnet, and the Minister for Finance, they gave the assurance to Parliament on the 24th of August this year that Transnet will be responsible to pay over all of the funding needed for the implementation of this report, subject to the amendment of the rules. And we noted that, subject to the amendment of the rules. Now, it is very clear that Transnet And I think this is also some disrespect to the minister's commitment to Parliament. I think the tail is wagging the dog a little bit, yeah. Chairperson, then there was a meeting between Transnet and the board of directors and the minister. Because before you came with these proposals, and before the minister made the announcement to Parliament, there should have been a meeting between Transnet and the minister before the minister committed himself to do the payment. Now, what I can't understand and what I would like to get clarity on, Chair, is who failed? You know, we tried to find out where was the real problem. Coming back to the report and what we've got with the proposals, of which some of these proposals we appreciate today. At least there are some movement and there are some way going forward. But the problem is that the problem can't lie with the trustees, the board of trustees as such, because they cannot put the fund at risk by amending the rules without having a guarantee from Transnet that funding will be paid into the fund. And like my colleague asked, I would like to know how much of the funding come from or will come from Transnet and how much of the funding will come from the funding level of the fund, if we can get clarity on that. Because it seems as if Transnet is trying to pass the whole buck now to the fund and the funding level of the fund. Chairperson, and the reason why I say this and the whole question about the money, according to the legislation, Section 12.2 of the Transnet Pension Fund Act, it reads, Transnet guarantees the financial obligations of the TSDBF. And it also says that the government of South Africa guarantees the obligations of Transnet towards the fund. So there's a guarantee from government, from Treasury to Transnet, and a guarantee from Transnet to the fund. So there must be a reason that we are not aware of why the original decision by the committee to Parliament is not implemented. Chairperson, I want to ask the chairperson of the fund. We want at the end of the day to see real progress and real money in the hands of the pensioners, of whom some of them received only 219 rand per month. We do appreciate the fact that you said that two payments has already been made in November last year and in February this year to cover the 5 months ex gratia payment. And we also, I think, it must be appreciated that the Board of Trustees intend to pay at least before the end of March next year the remaining three bonuses to cover the total amount of equal to a 5 month ex gratia payment. I think this must be appreciated because, as we said last time, because of the age of these pensioners, you know, we can't afford red tape and we can't afford more delays. That on the one side. As I the interpretation of your presentation is that going forward, after this, another three payments will be paid to cover the first proposal of a 5 month payment. The choice will be in the future either an ex gratia bonus every year, like they used to get since 2007, or either a 75% increase of the CPI on the normal basis. The 3.2% uplift basis is just disappeared now from the proposal. So there should be a choice. And we heard from one of the members of the Board of Trustees, Mr. Benwell, said that they already made some sort of an analysis that pensioners would prefer. That, let's call it not an ex gratia payment, but a 30th check at the end of the year before the festive season. So we would like also to ask the Board of Trustees that with their meeting at the end of this month, on the 30th of November, when they consider the proposals that's on the table today, that they must come back to the Board of Directors of Transnet, what he just said here, to convey that message also to Transnet within the decision-making for the future, that the pensioners would rather prefer a bonus every year instead of a 75% of inflation. And we also took note that the 2% at present covers almost 33% of the CPI every year, and that that is guaranteed in the proposals. So, Chairperson, just to finalize, as the process was spelled out earlier today at the meeting here, once the committee received the report back from the Speaker of Parliament, I think then the committee will sit down and have a review of all the proposals. What proposals, you know, was complied to, and what proposal still have to be complied to, if the fund and the funding level can match such a proposal, and whether there will be any more commitments from Transnet via the Minister of Public Enterprises. So what I want to say, this is not, today's meeting is not the end of the road to wish you bye-bye and never see you again. But we cannot do anything because we as a committee did our piece of work, and it stops. It stopped when Parliament adopted the report last year. Now we just want to get feedback from the Speaker, and as from there, I think the committee will have a relook at the whole issue. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just want to do what the pensioners want, and I don't want them to make a decision, you know, with a gun to their heads, where we say, if you don't take the bonus, then, you know, nothing can happen. So I would want them to do, without being held hostage, to do what is best for them. So I would suggest that the recommendation stand as Parliament is, and that it will work in with a 5 months back pay, and then a phased-in approach, and the Transnet or the pension fund comes back annually, as my as Mr. Honorable Van Dijk have said, come back annually to report back to us on how far they are getting with this phased-in approach. And then our decision would be heavily influenced by what the pensioners and Mr. Benwell would think is reasonable and what they want, you know. So we can't sit there and make rules and then it's not what the pensioners want. We must be influenced by their what they want. So maybe it's a time when they go out to a referendum and they give them the two choices and they can decide what they want and they can come back and report back to us on what they want. I think that might be, I mean, you can pay the 5 months so long, that should be no problem, everybody would want that, and then you go and ask them what they want for the rest of the time. I think that might be a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I want to echo some of the sentiments that have been expressed here, especially with regards to what Honorable Van Dalen said about what the pensioners want. It seems that there's no proper communication to pensioners because they don't know what is going on. There is just so many rumors out there, and the people get upset, and some of them even die off because they're old and frail, and they can't handle the stress anymore. And that is a disgrace. They just don't get any communication. I know Mr. Benwell here receives hundreds of calls every day. I don't know how he actually gets through a day without answering phones. So that needs to be attended to, seriously. Secondly, as a principle, this committee took a decision and Parliament took a decision, and you know what that decision is. And you've come back with a counter-proposal today that it falls somewhat below that par that was set. Now, that is movement, as was indicated as well. But it's not enough, as far as I'm concerned, because, as Honorable Van Dijk indicated, both Transnet and government must guarantee the payments to be made to the pensioners. And you were part of the process of this committee and a decision that was made to make the payment. And you indicated that the solution is affordable at that time. And now suddenly it's not affordable. How is that possible? How can it change, the calculations change from 1.9 billion rand to be paid into the fund to more than that? Who made the mistake? Where does that come from? And it's a year later and the people are still suffering. It is a disgrace. I've met with many pensioners, hundreds of them, at various meetings. And those people are in a dire strait. The dire condition. So I want to know, even though you have come up with some novel solutions within the constraints that you have. I want to know from Transnet, why don't they make the people who worked for them and built the old railways and eventually it became Transnet to the company it is today, why are they not looking after them properly? Why are they not a priority? And the same goes for Treasury. We have a new financial year coming up. Why can't Treasury also help? This is absolute nonsense that you have to play around with numbers and not provide the solution that this committee decided. Because a lot of hard work, even though I'm not a member, I know a lot of hard work went into coming to that decision by these members of this committee. So I want to know exactly how you're going to fix this in the medium term. One can communicate to the pensioners and say, look, we have an interim solution and this is what we present to you so that we can alleviate your immediate plight. But we will come in a fairly short time, and I would say by the middle of next year, of executing all the instructions of this committee and parliament. Because government has to guarantee that. And I think that the rules changes must be effected. Because as Honorable Van Dalen has said, the pensioners have not been part of a referendum where they decide whether they want a bonus or a monthly payment. Or maybe a combination of the both, you don't know. So it is very important to attend to what they want, because it's their fund, it's not your fund. They paid for it over the years. And I think that it's time that you become more democratic and actually communicate to the people and don't ask or don't leave it to the members of this committee to try and communicate, and Mr. Benwell, who has to receive hundreds of phone calls every day. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks, Chairperson. I just wish to place it on record that at no stage did the minister make a commitment to make the payment. The minister made a commitment that a Transnet will find a funding solution. And perhaps just to point out what we may assume is obvious, that or that is common knowledge, the Minister of Public Enterprises met the Minister of Finance on this issue, and the Minister of Finance indicated that National Treasury was not going to be part of the funding solution. And as a result, the Minister of Public Enterprises wrote to Transnet to say they should find a funding solution on their own. And to that end, the Minister received a letter yesterday from the Chairperson of Transnet responding to that, indicating what is going to happen, which is what the Board of Trustees have presented today. So at no point was there ever a commitment that the payments were going to be made as per recommendations. The commitment was that a funding solution was going to be found, and it's what has been presented today. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Santa.
Chair, I want to reiterate again that we and I think you did take the initiative, but I do think it's the right time to ask one of the legal people of Parliament to come to the meeting and to advise us on our obligations or not. But I think for the record, Chair, the ANC can't necessarily associate itself with all the things that Honourable Albert has said.
Honourable Mkwena?
Yes, Chairperson, I think we can be proud as parliamentarians that we have exercised our fiduciary duty. We did not give a blind eye to the plight of the pensioners who are the voters of South Africa. Especially coming from our side is the African National Congress. We wouldn't countenance any pain by anybody. We understand the history of this thing. It's people in the past who are running the show who actually caused this problem. We cannot say the new government, we didn't cause the best, we got nothing to do with it. So what Parliament did is exercise oversight. And this committee, all of us, all political parties, put the shoulder to the wheel. We're the subcommittee that was put together, and it did wonderful work to goad Transnet and the TSDBF to find the solution. Now, I think one must say that one is cautiously appreciative of Mr. Moyo's recommendation, because it's a joint solution. See, this is a joint solution. They work together, and that's what we asked them to do. We said to them last week, go away. We want to hear different voices. Transnet and TSDBF, come together. Let's hear a joint voice. Not the cacophony, but the symphony. Now, we are hearing what sounds like a very pleasant symphony. Our job is not to unravel this. And I've heard what the Honorable, my colleague, the Honorable Dr. Van Dijk said. It's appropriately quoting the law, but that law does not say, it says government will guarantee and trans guarantee, but does not say government can guarantee 50%, 100%, 90%. It was in the context of this 2%, which is very abysmal, I agree. So that is what I think is guaranteed. That come hail, come thunder, that is going to stand. But our aspiration is that it should be increased. But to increase it, you need the regulations to be changed, etc., etc. And the board and the trustees say that now, once you increase it to this 3.2, then it's not going to be sustainable. And I said, Chairperson, last time, that we should not force the trust to increase the money to any amount that will render the fund insolvent, because then we as parliamentarians are going to be guilty of breaking or flouting the Companies Act. The Companies Act says directors must not effect disbursements if they realize that such disbursements are going to cause insolvency. Now, what you don't want to do now is to appear very nice and say, oh, give them 10%, 20%, have a big Christmas, 5, 3, 10 years. After that, the fund is bankrupt. And people say, who are these people? Oh, no, some MPs wanted to be very nice to the pensioners 10 years ago. And now the offspring is going to curse some of us. If we're dead, go to our graves and spit on our graves, say, you're very, very negligent. So, take into account the situation globally. We know the world is not the same now. I think this is the best that the trustees have come up with. And I think I like the fact that it's a collaboration. And I don't think we should put a gun to the executive through the minister and say, thou shalt find the money, thou shalt disperse, you know, the money. Because we as parliament have so decreed. Parliament can only recommend to the executive. Parliament cannot instruct the executive. Similarly, the executive cannot instruct parliament. We know that once a year when the Minister of Finance comes to table the budget vote, he says, Honorable Speaker, here are the proposals. He calls them proposals. He tables them, parliament, and says, for consideration by parliament. He proposes, the executive proposes to parliament. Then, ipso facto, or similarly, parliament recommends to the executive. And the only one of state that seems to have sharper teeth would be the judiciary. They direct parliament. They direct the executive. But we as parliament are lawmakers. In our position, we cannot direct the executive. So I think we've done the best that we can, and I think we should treat this in fine spirit as work in progress. Honorable September came up with a very proactive and progressive suggestion to the portfolio committee and said, all these state-owned companies, every 3 months, we must interface with them and not only collide with them once a year when you look at their annual reports. So I think Chairperson, using that format of engagement, every 3 months we can find out what progress is being made, but we must be careful not to micromanage. We as parliamentarians cannot micromanage the pension fund. We can't do that. We've gone through the supplementary budget voting, you know, the BRRR, our 38 ministries budget. And one has not come across any portfolio committee that could micromanage pension issues. And I don't think we should see the president there that we're going to sit and micromanage. But we have tried our best to push it as far as we possibly can, and the voters out there will see that this is a very responsible parliament. So I think we can sleep very well with a conscience as we wish that we've done a very good job. I don't think we should be radical and try and upset the apple cart. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think as a committee, we are facilitating a process where a sustainable solution should be found. Yes, the pace is too slow, but we are getting there. I don't think we need to paint a picture that would suggest that nothing is being done. We have, in our last meeting, we said that the two parties should work together in finding a solution. Today we are presented with a joint proposal from the two parties. Now, where does it come from that nothing is being done? I find it quite upsetting when we ask people to do work, and when they come to present, we say, why are you not doing anything? I think on ourselves, we need to be clear about some of the issues before we fire political volleys here. Treasury, from the beginning, never wanted to associate itself with the process. And therefore, we cannot drag Treasury into this. Also, as we are facilitating this process, we should not play as if we are the messiahs of the situation or whatever. This is the plight of the people, and we need to treat it as such. We want a solution so that pensioners can get what is due to them, not come here and play party politics. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I just want to plead to you that really this committee has come a long way. We've interacted with all the stakeholders, and I find it extremely discomfortable that the presentation is being treated as if it has not been delivered to them, because you don't listen to it. And we must be very careful not to party politicize this thing, not to take us back. A lot of progress has been made. We are there to find a solution. And at the end of the day, we are fighting for what is in the best interest of your clients, the pensioners. That is it. And really, Chair, we must be careful not to be taken back in the future. Some parties fight for a better past. I cannot be part of that. I want here. This committee has engaged itself for more than 18 months extensively with the process. We are fighting for the benefit of the pensioners. The world is not static. The world changes all the time. There happen crises globally. The financial situation changes. We cannot live in a cuckoo land and accept and say that nothing has changed. It's a changing, volatile world, and we need to change, and we all agree to find commonly a solution. And a lot of hard work has been put in it. And I plead to you, Chair, let's not derail the process here. To become emotional in emotional statements and say nothing has been done, go back, implement. This is taking us back, and it's not serving the interests of the pensioners.
I think we...
Jefferson, can I add?
I don't want it to you know, dwell too much on I don't want us to do that. I just want to say, and I'm not going to actually allow anybody else now to speak on this matter. I think, you know, if I can imagine, let me just use an example, that you have your daughter, you know, fighting with her husband, and they come to you and say, no, we've got this problem, and you say, no, you know, because you still have a long future ahead of you. Go away, try to sort out this thing, and you can come back to me. And then they come to you and say, no, you know, we've agreed on a number of things. We think we can, you know. And you say to them, no, you haven't agreed. You have got a grief, and you can't proceed that way. You know, they will never come to you again, and they will think you're just ridiculous. You know, so I think the reason why the committee said Transnet and the TSDBF must go and find each other was really to assist the committee. And you come back and say, no, we have, you know, agreed on a number of, we haven't satisfied everything, but we are getting there, and we think there's room for improvement as we move on. So I think we must take that into, that's what really what should guide us as a committee. We must, I think, what we wanted to get to last time in the meeting when we agreed that no, go and come back to us, I think we have got that, and we can't expect to. I said earlier on, we must look at we must be realistic, and we must look at sustainability. That's the most important thing, you know, and this is what we are told, you know, affordability. And I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, because I'm not so long in this committee, but the TSDBF, isn't that representing the pensioners? That's the voice of the pensioners. So it is for the TSDBF to go to the pensioners and say, you know, this is what we, where we are, and so on and so forth. And in fact, I know normally what happens is even the members who are sitting here, you know, they have constituencies, and the people who elected them come in. But they know what is expected of them. They act like when we go into the house, whatever they agree on, they know that this is what our supporters will support or not support. So, and when they find the time, they will go back to their constituencies and say, you know, this is why we did not support this, or this is why we supported this. And they know that they will get the nod, or you know, or not from their constituents. So I think you know, members, let's not you know, I think what is important is that already with this agreement that is there, that you know, some of these things can be effected as soon as possible, like now, and I think that's really what's important. I'm going to give all of you who want to say a minute, and not more than that, to say what you want to say, and then we close this meeting. I'm going to go this way. Oh yeah, there are questions that were asked. If you can just respond to those questions, and then we'll have members commenting.
Why did you question
Jefferson? No, it doesn't. Yeah. Mr. Moya?
I will try. But,
passing of the 75% CPI, 2%, in our proposals, we are saying 2% is still guaranteed. We are targeting 75%. What we can afford today is between 63% and 68%. The question of the once-off payment, definitely out of the five, two have been done. In fact, the third one was actually being done yesterday.
Will be in the bank for
and will be, yeah. So I can confirm that as of now, the fund has processed three. The two, once we all agreed on a way forward, we actually want to implement those two, and I want to come back to that at the end, Chair. And then the question of the bonus being affordable, I think it is important to understand that we can't do the CPI increases plus the bonuses. It's actually going to be one or the other. However, once we're in a situation where when we've actually implemented this first bit, we think there are extra reserves, we will seriously consider a bonus to deal with the generational issues. On the question of the commitment, we have actually been committed. I can't guarantee on the situation of the state old age pension because we don't run that. We're actually just working. We're trying to work around those rules to just make sure that we maximize the benefit of the pensioner. So we can't really. The 850 million that you're talking about is coming from the fund. It is not coming from Transnet. There is no cash injection. We've actually said, given Transnet's commitment, given where the fund is, let's actually try and see what we can afford. On the question of certainly the fund and to an extent Transnet, on the question of the disrespect for Parliament, if it came across, Chair, that we disrespected, we apologize, but in my mind, we never did that. Every time we asked to come, we came. Even last week, under extreme difficulties, the then chairman said, let's try and do this week. We all tried, and it is also known that some of us were actually working over the weekend to try and find a solution to this. So to actually even suggest that there's actually been disrespect, the first time the fund was asked to talk to Parliament, I wrote a letter asking for a meeting. The first time that we got involved in it. So there was never in our minds, and we've always treated Parliament with respect, and Chair will continue to treat Parliament with respect. The question that this was always subject to the amendment of the rules. I think we all need to be clear that the rule amendment process has to start only with the trustees, and the trustees will change the rules if they are not going to result in the fund being in a deficit position. The way this thing was crafted, if we amended those rules, we would have put the fund in a deficit, and the trustees cannot do that. What we're trying to do here, we're actually dealing with those things. There's a question of who failed. I don't think maybe if there was failure, I think there was failure on all our part, because I think up front we should actually have all said, look, we want to do all these things. How best do we deal with them and actually try and find a solution? But I'm actually glad to say that I think we can actually say that all the patches, in fact, I say to somebody, I think we'll all walk away and say, we're possibly not 100% happy, maybe we're each one of us 25% unhappy, 10% unhappy, which is always what a compromise is about. I mean, can I sit here and say this actually solves all the pensioners' problems? No. Can I say this is the best under the current circumstances that we're doing? The answer is yes. Are we committed to doing something better for them? We are committed. And on the question of how much comes from trans- Transnet and the obligations. Honorable Gwena is right. Transnet only guarantees this with what we currently have. The board of directors of Transnet cannot go and create a liability for which they do not have an obligation. It might actually well be outside of PFMA. So we could not even do that. The 2% Transnet, even if this fund becomes insolvent under these rules, Transnet has got an obligation, but Transnet cannot take an act that actually puts it deeper in the red. And then on the basis that there are guarantees, we actually guarantee what we have, Chair. And then on the, so the board has taken this into account. There is a statement, Chair, that says, let's not say this is the end of the road. I think it's helpful, the suggestion that we come and report on an ongoing basis, I think it's a very good thing. But I think somehow or the other, we need to get a semblance that we've actually dealt with these issues and we can move. I'll tell you why. If we keep on leaving it open, it becomes difficult for the Board of Trustees to make a decision, because you don't want to make a decision thinking that there are other things that are going to come your way, because then you can't make a decision. And I mean, it actually, so I think we want to leave it to the committee then to come back to us, and because your feedback will help us make the decisions next week. But if we get a sense that we can't deal with it, we'll all be again putting more stress on the pensioners, because I think we need to say, and accepting that maybe each year or however many times Parliament wants us to come and review the progress of this, I'm happy that we can actually do it, but I plead with the members that let's actually say create a semblance of certainty or clarity, because that's actually the way that our Board of Trustees is actually going to work. Because even the Transnet Board yesterday, when they agreed to this, it was actually on the understanding that the portfolio committee will be supportive, because if it's not, they also find their hands tied. So we'll actually be in a stalemate. We're not putting a gun at all to the pensioners' heads. Like we said, we are going to test this with the pensioners. I'm also glad, Chair, to say that a few months ago, because we ourselves as a board want to make sure that we understand clearly what our members want, we agreed to even increase the number of pensioners elected trustees onto our board. Because it's actually important for us to actually make sure that the people whose money we are looking after is well represented. Phased in approach, our suggestion is that let's accept this package and actually move and create that certainty. And we'll always look at, I've had the privilege, Chair, of running the two biggest pension organizations in this country, being Old Mutual and Alexander Forbes. And one of the things that I've always said is always start off with the reasonable benefit expectation. And we keep on talking about even the reasonable benefit expectations of our members. And we actually take them very, very seriously. When we started with this process, we debated even ourselves whether we should not start off with a referendum. But we actually felt that we can't go to our members without something that this is our thought. So we do take those things very seriously. And again, it's mentioned that if we move slowly, some of our members die. It is said that even one of our own trustees actually passed away during this process before we even finalized these things. When I got a letter from his daughter, he said, my dad was always worried about the TSDPF. If we drag this thing for too long, it's the members that actually suffer. And my plea is that we move on very quickly, because on our side, if we're ready,
we are in a position on Wednesday next week to press the button and go. I've talked about the Transnet guarantees, because the Transnet guarantees are exactly what they are. Transnet cannot take decisions that will actually put the fund in jeopardy. Yes, Transnet has an obligation in my mind to always look after its past and former employees. But we must also bear in mind that the role of Transnet in the fund is that of an employer. And if Transnet actually starts doing some other things, for example, if Transnet as the employer, because the role of Transnet in this is an employer, if they were to start doing certain things, let's not be surprised if employees who are not even affected by this actually say, Transnet, you did this, and it actually pushes the cost base. So we need to really think about that. And yeah, this is, that's really where we are. And on the issue, Chair, that let's actually move from what Honorable Gwen and Sondo were saying, and I think that's really where we would like to be, Chair. I hope I've dealt with all of these.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to state that, thank you for the answers as well, that we have noted the movement that was made. We're not ignorant of this. If I sounded quite emotional, it's a reflection of the state of the pensioners out there. Part of the pensioners is our constituency. And members in this committee actually approached me and said they will keep me updated about what's happening in March, May this year. And since then, I have not heard anything. So my frustration also stems from that an agreement between some members of this committee and my party has been broken. Right. Now, let me just state further. Yes, and I'm just stating where I come from, because an accusation has been made that I'm taking people back to the past. I'm not. I'm taking it back to a decision that this committee has made. And I want to understand why it has not been fulfilled. Now, I do understand that you have constraints and that movement has been made. And I'm not going to stand, from my personal point of view or my party's view, in your way to implement what you need to implement to at least in the interim provide help for the pensioners. But I think, as you have indicated in your own presentation, we must try to move towards getting to the point where the decision of this committee is fully implemented in the end of the day. I'm also glad that you say that there will be, you will ask the pensioners whether they would like to have a lump sum payment or an increase that comes monthly. One thing that is actually just not clear is that on the interpretation of the decision made, a lump sum of 5 months would be paid, but it seems like that you're using the existing ad hoc payments or ex gratia payments every year to actually fund that 5 months. And I would just like to I thought that would be actually the 5 month lump sum would be an extra payment over and above the ex gratia, and that you're actually sort of now sliding that into the system to save more money. And I'd just like to have clarity on that. Okay, thank you, Chair. And I'd just like to know that on the TPF, whether the rules changes will also be made there. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, yes, I think we must just get the record straight. The reason why I use the word disregard to Parliament is because in the task team sittings last year, Transnet was at present with members of Transnet and their actuaries. And actually, Transnet came with a proposal of the 1.9 billion, and they said they will provide that. And on that basis, we put the report together, and all of a sudden now, it is the funding level of the fund who will have to take the responsibility. But Chairperson, as I've said, I think we appreciated the fact that the first proposal of the 5 months pension in the next gratia once of payment will be finalized by the end of March next year. And the second proposal is, so that will be adhered to. The second proposal, of the 75% of CPI will be covered now by an ex gratia bonus annually, and also a 33% guaranteed increase on the pensions per annum. That is, if I understand you correctly. And then thirdly, the base upliftment is the one who is actually not been covered in the presentation, and that is what I say. It might not be the end of the road if the funding level, or if it's in the power of Transnet in future, you know, that we can come back to that. That is what I say. Once the report comes back to the committee, we might commit us to say that if the possibility is there in future, we can cover it, the last proposal backdated. So that is why I say it is not at the end of the road. But we as a committee do appreciate the progress that's been made. We came a long way. And the best thing for the pensioners before the festive season is that there is a little bit of money coming before Christmas Day. And thank you for that. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Mr. Chairperson. I just looked at it. You have a $2.7 billion deficit, né? And if you said on that slide, this one here, né? That if you implement the 75% only, then it would put the fund in a 500 million rand deficit. Ne? But now you are saying, if you are implementing 75% and that payback, then the fund will not be in a deficit because Transnet will not be paying. No, I don't understand that now.
Okay.
Maybe I'm missing something.
Chairperson, I don't want to spoil the good intentions of these parties. I think we should take it as they have proposed it. Where possible, we will ask questions. And I'm glad that Honourable Member Fundy is saying, in fact, is talking to what I was going to suggest or say that. Here we talk as a committee. We are not talking as parties.
Yes.
We are a committee that is dealing with the issue.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted just to ask a question of clarification. Which parties might have a material effect on the cash flow of the TSGBF? And the question is, what is the quantum of the overheads of the TSDBF? In other words, you, people who serve, how many are they, and what director's fees do they have, so they have allowance, etc., etc., and where are you housed? I'm asking a question which kind of it contains some suggestions, but it's just there right now. Let's assume you say it's 1 million per year type of thing, and then say, break it down. And you find that as you break it down, part of it is you are paying rent to Transnet where you are actually housed. You understand? So those things can actually be removed, etc., etc., so that now you don't have high liabilities of overheads. That will have the effect of sparing some money that can then be distributed among the pensioners. It's a question containing some suggestions as well. So it's a mixed bag.
I think we should just. I got very confused with everything you said. I think from my side it's just really to say thank you very much for working with the committee and, you know, taking us into your confidence. And going back and coming back and, you know, doing a couple of things. And from my side, Happy Christmas, Happy New Year.
Yes, I just want to say, as one of the original members that started with this whole process, I think we started way back in the committee here in about March 2010 with our initial documents. And we have come a long way. I think in that first presentation in June or July sometime, there didn't seem to be much hope then, and so we have come a long way. I was very encouraged to see and to hear from a member of the pensioners because, and I think the fact that they've been And then having said that, I raised this last week, but the pensioner who died in the meantime worked extremely hard on this, and I think that those of us who were involved right from the beginning got many emails and telephone calls from him on behalf of the pensioners. So one perhaps needs to pay a bit of tribute to him today for what he did in the name of, yes, Chris Kutsia. I know his name. So thank you. I also want to thank you. At the end of the day, the thing is to give the pensioners an improvement on what they have. And I think that's been our focus, and I'm grateful for that. Thank you very much to all concerned.
Thank you, Chairperson. There's a saying, politics is not for sissies, and it's true. We as a portfolio committee has worked across party political lines in this committee for more than 18 months. And I think across party political lines we won. We really have a unit here. And we only have one aim. What is in the best interest of the pensioners? That's what we're fighting for. And this is what we great length went to Parliament for, engaged with you. It's not a static process. It's a continuous developing process. And we all, it's fantastic to see so many role players working together to find a solution. I just want to confirm that. Then I think, Chairperson, the best the committee can do now is to note your presentation. Because the process, what will kick in, if I understand it correctly, is the minister has received a letter from the speaker in December 2010. And that letter asked the minister for a report to the speaker on the recommendations of the portfolio committee. The minister will, in the next few days, give that report to the speaker based on what is provided by the board of Transnet. The speaker will refer that report of the minister back to this portfolio committee. And at that time, we can deliberate and engage with a report received from the speaker. That is a process, and I just want to make sure that that is a correct understanding that we... I think there are... one member of parliament made a very valuable input and to say the communication with the pensioners are weak. And I would appreciate that. Thank you for at least indicating that you're considering to increase representation of the pensioners on your board. That's a great step forward. Now, congratulations. You've done it. Congratulations. Because that will increase the communication with the pensioners. If you have other means to go through to alleviate Mr. Benwell's crisis that he has every day, just to put the members through communication, whatever, at peace of the process and what is happening. I think that is extremely important, that communication must be approved. So I conclude to say I think we noted, and let the process kick in to get this to a finality. Thank you.
Conclude on this matter. I would like to thank all members for their contribution to get this matter to where it is now. I want to especially thank those who were in the task team for the work that they have done in assisting the committee or guiding the committee with its contribution towards what we have now. But I'd also like to thank Transnet, those who are representing Transnet on this process, the TSDB, the DBF. And I hope that, you know, we will continue engaging with the pension on this matter going forward. And I must just emphasize again the method, the approach of this committee on dealing with issues. Because we try as much as possible to find one another as a committee first before we fight with whoever sitting on this side. And we normally find that because we are so powerful this side, there's no
fight with someone who's weaker than me. So that is the approach of this committee, and it has always been how this committee works. We have people, in fact, almost all these members here, are very, 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 very passionate about this matter. There's a lot of anger, you know, but, you know, we have agreed that the best way to deal with this matter is to have sound reasoning prevail above anything else. And I think the committee requested you last week to go and find each other. We knew that. You will not come here with what we would want as a 100% win in the task that you have given. Anyway, we are South Africans. If we wanted 100%, we wouldn't be here today. We would still be busy with the civil war. But we, and the whole world knows that we are a very special people. We know what negotiations entail. And I think we've really arrived at the point where we say now we can move forward. And I want to thank those of you from an official level who really assisted us to get to where we are today. And although I said the committee as a whole, but maybe I should say each and every political party that has been involved in this committee in assisting us in getting to. This is not an easy matter. It involves people's lives. We all know that among some of those pensioners, there are people who are really struggling to get someone through university with this money. To change the cycle of poverty in their families. So it is not a matter that we can play politics about or try to score points, cheap political points about it. It's not something like that. It's a very serious matter, and I think we have tried so far to treat it with the seriousness that it deserves. And I'd like to thank all members, and the matter is closed. And we will wait for the report. The letter from the speaker now, and we'll see how we move forward. And so we still have two issues.
My question can be answered in the next meeting, sir.
No, Honorable Mukwena, I have spoken, and there's nothing else that's going to be said now. I just want to remind members about our oversight trip next week. There are some changes. Can you do this? We have. There was a special request from ESCOM, and this has to do with the level of security at all the ESCOM sites at the moment, which has been escalated. So ESCOM has requested that we postpone our visit to any ESCOM site. We actually heard that the minister was also supposed to visit one or the other site, and he was also requested, to please postpone his visit to the site. And that then changed our program, as you have it in front of you there, that we will, I think Dishan can quickly take us through this.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've just circulated the draft program, the members. It is a program basically effecting the changes to the request by ESCOM. It has taken into consideration the request from SAFCOL, because their operations are quite far apart from each other, and they are very scattered within the Mpumalanga province. So they have requested that we give them 2 days for us to be able to do our effective oversight over their plantations and the project that they do have in Mpumalanga. So the way it looks, there will be a lot of driving. So the reason that they will get to allow members to also rest and also to allow the driving, because there's also problems of flights from Mpumalanga to Durban. There are no flights because of the COP17. So basically, it will start on the 29th, where we'll visit the department and also in Frako. It has not changed there. Then we'll slip over in Pretoria, and then we'll only drive in the morning to Mpumalanga Highveld. Then we will be able to do our oversight without pressure of time. Then we'll be sleeping over there in Nelspruit, and then we'll only be driving on the 1st of December. We'll be on the 30th. We'll be focusing on the land claims issues. They want to show us some of the progress and what land they've been given back to the people, and if there are communities that the community would like to engage with to look at the issue of land claims, and then we'll also be able to look at some of the other plantations. Then we sleep over in Nelspruit. Then on the second day, we'll be visiting the South Call Hub, which they call it Sabi. It's more where the biggest plantations of South Call are. Then they'll be able to do us a program where we'll be able to deal with all the other issues that the committee would like to deal with in South Call. But they will. I request that they release us after lunch. So at 2 o'clock, we're leaving back to Johannesburg, so that at least by 5 o'clock, we are there. Members are able to rest, and we'll only drive. We'll only fly in the morning from Johannesburg to Durban. We couldn't find hotels in Durban. Hence, we'll be flying in the morning because of this. So we're gonna be at least in the morning, probably 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, depending on what members would be comfortable with. There is a flight at 6 o'clock. Then there is a flight at about 7 o'clock. To Durban, from Johannesburg to Durban. It's a 1 hour flight. So we should be in Durban at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we start the walk over.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Honorable Van Dijk had said that he would go to the Pretoria visits, and I will be cancelling my trip. I will not be going, so please accept my apology. Okay, I can't get stuck. I have other meetings, and I have some Opleiding as a leadership course or something that's starting the 29th. So I would rather go and do that than get stuck there in driving around all over the country. And so I would rather do that. It's more important to me now. ESCOM would be a good one to have gone to, but if we're not going there, then that's all right.
Honourable members, I think that's the program. I think this is our last meeting for the year. And I would like to thank members for all the hard work that we've put into committee over the year, last year, and for all your support. And I'd like to wish you all a Merry Christmas, those of you who celebrate Christmas. And I hope that we will also have some good time with our family and friends. And that we'll have a good rest in between and come back next year with lots and lots of energy and commitment to continue with the work of Parliament. But I'd also like to extend the same to the officials who are sitting on this side. Wish you all the best in your families. And please be safe and obey the rules of the road. I won't tell you what not to do, you know. Anyway, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Along with the test.